Joshua chapter number 1, Joshua chapter number 1, and we're going to read the first 9 verses of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we're just thankful for the gift of being able to meet together again in a common place and in a common accord, Lord, to just fellowship around your word, around the praises of your name. We pray, Lord, that as we look to this chapter and what Pastor has for us, that we would be reminded, as the Lord says to Joshua here, to be of courage, to be of good cheer, to know and understand that what has been written for us is for us to learn and to understand and to have a good success in our lives as Christians. We pray, Lord, that we would be diligent to meditate upon the words that are preached, and Lord, that we would do so to observe the things that you've commanded us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You know, when I think about this past week and having revival that we had, sometimes after an evangelist has really maybe 5 or 6 sermons, Brother Eric preached 6 different times whenever he was here, a lot goes through your mind of what do you say after that? Some of you weren't here for the youth rally, but he preached a wonderful message on forgiveness and how we need to be forgiving in our Christian walks in our lives. But nonetheless, you know, just thinking about those things, what was some things that I got out of it? What were some things that we should take away from this week of meetings and things like that? And I meditated a lot on that this past week and how God had helped me, how God had watched over me, and really was just revived so much. The Lord just, my wife said, "You're just typing so much." I was literally just typing message after message after message. I typed about 3 different messages out in just a couple of days, and just really felt, for lack of better words, inspired, I guess you might say, revived and helped, and really was a blessing and a help to me. Thank you, Luke, for reading that this morning. But we are in Joshua, and I do want to draw your attention to the key verse this morning. It's verse number 9 right there. It's the very last verse that Luke read, and when he says, "Have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Have you ever felt alone at a time? I don't just mean that you were lost in a grocery store at 6 years old or anything like that, but I mean, sometimes you can feel alone and you can have 1,000 people around you, can't you? You really can. It's an amazing thing. Loneliness can take us over sometimes, and I can tell you there's lots of different people that felt alone. Moses felt alone whenever he was on the top of the mountain, whenever the people were sinning down in the camp. I guarantee that Joshua felt alone at this particular case right here. He says, "Have not I commanded thee?" Because six different times before this verse, he has told him to be strong and of a good courage. And in fact, it was known, it seems like Joshua was a man that lacked some courage, so much to the point that if you read in verse number 18, the people actually say to Joshua, "Joshua, do what Moses told you to do, be strong and of a good courage." And it's not really till chapter number 10, in Joshua chapter number 10, that Joshua has faced many battles up to this point and has seen many victories, that he's the one in Joshua chapter number 10 now telling the people to be strong and of a good courage. I think of David whenever he felt alone after the city of Ziklag was destroyed by the Amalekites, and then they captured all the women and the children and brought them away, and his own men wanted to stone and kill him. And then the Bible says those great words, and David encouraged himself in what? The Lord. Don't you think that there was a time whenever Elijah felt alone, whenever he was on Mount Carmel, and ever he had the great wind and he had the earthquake and the fire that came to him, and Jezebel was on his tail and was going to kill him, and he said to God that it would be better for me to die right here. I tell you, that's a pitiful state of loneliness whenever you get to the place where you say, it would be better for me to die. Job felt lonely. He said the exact same thing to God. And no doubt our Lord felt lonely, did he not? What a lonely feeling that must have been that night in the Garden of Gethsemane whenever he went back to his disciples three different times when he told them to pray and they were not praying, but yet they were asleep. Paul felt lonely whenever I can tell. There was one time whenever in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, he's in the maritime prison there, and as he's there, he writes those most terrible words. He says there in that last epistle that he writes, he says, "All men have forsaken me. All men have forsaken me." I bet John felt lonely whenever he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos after being something boiled in oil over his whole entire body, then exiled to that terrible place to spend the rest of his days. Loneliness is something that is not uncommon to the Bible. I think Hannah felt lonely, do you not, whenever she was the second wife of her husband, and the other wife that her husband had children, but she did not, and she was made fun of by Peniah. I bet Ruth felt lonely whenever she went into the land of Israel and had to forsake her own land. At that time, I'm sure Mary felt lonely whenever her full family forsook her, probably, and her own espoused husband was about to forsake her because she was with child. And though she had probably told him, the Holy Spirit of God has done this thing, it's a miracle of God, Joseph just couldn't believe it himself, could he? God had to send an angel down from heaven to let him know, don't leave her, that she has been with child by the Holy Ghost. There's people, men and women, all over the Scriptures that have felt this despair, this loneliness, this thing in their life where they feel like perhaps there's nobody looking around. And really what I want to do this morning is to encourage our hearts to be strong and courageous, to understand that God is with us no matter where we go. No matter where it is in our lives, David said it pretty well in Psalm chapter number 139. I won't quote it exactly, but he says, "Thou art before me and behind me." He says, if I make my bed in hell, what does he say? Thou art with me. If I take the wings as of the morning and I fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, he says, thou art with me. In fact, if you looked and studied the Scriptures, you can actually find a very interesting study. That as you read the Scriptures, you can find that God is literally below us. He's in front of us. He's above us, he's behind us, he's on the right, and he's on the left. Or like one guy said that I know, just an old sinner that got saved by the grace of God. He's in jail right now, but he said, "You know what, Matt?" He said, "You know what, Pastor?" He said, "God gave you all the armor." He said, "But he didn't give you armor for your back. You know why?" He said, "Because God's got your back." That's what he told me. He said, "God's got your back." He's behind there. He's with you. He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And I thought about the messages that Brother Eric preached this week. And I'm not trying to re-preach his messages or anything, but I do think it's helpful, like Peter said in 2 Peter, he said, I do well to remind you, to bring you into remembrance. In fact, he basically told them, I know you know what I'm telling you, but I'm going to tell you again. And I had a friend of mine who's a pastor in North Carolina. He said, Matthew, you need to understand something as you go into the ministry. You're not saying anything new to anybody. Basically, everything you're telling them are things that they already know. You're just helping them to remember, he said. But never be discouraged by that, because what you are telling them is just simply what the Word of God says. Is what the Word of God says. Peter said it, like I said already. He says, I do well, you do well that I bring you into remembrance. And I want you to remember some things. Like I said, on Saturday evening, many of you were not here. That was a youth rally. But he did preach out of the Gospel of Luke and how we should forgive one another. And I thought, man, what a great sermon that is for young people today. How many times young people struggle with bitterness, with unforgiveness, how they struggle and how they hold back, and how somebody has hurt them in the past and perhaps they blame that on them. And it's like a man that I was talking to just the other day that his neighbor's an atheist, and finally after conversation after conversation after conversation, it came out that his dad had died at a young age. You know what? He was mad at God. Bitterness, unforgiveness, mad at God had just overtaken his heart and overtaken his life. And it's amazing, even as young children, that we can have resentment and bitterness in our hearts, and we have to put that aside, and we have to be tenderhearted, compassionate, loving one another, be caring for one another, and forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, what? Hath forgiven you. Acts chapter number 8 is what Brother Eric preached on Sunday morning. It was a powerful message on witnessing and how we ought to open our mouths and preach the Word and preach about Jesus Christ. It was centered on evangelism and telling the lost about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was centered upon this one reality, and that is this. Why did God leave us in this world? Why would He leave us here? He left us here to witness. You'd be amazed that in the city of Austin, how many people that I have spoken to, giving them the gospel, talk to them just a brief moment about Jesus Christ, and then I ask them, I like to ask a question sometimes. Has anybody ever told you about this before? And you would not believe the response sometimes of people that say no. No. In fact, I have a good question for you. When was the last time somebody shared the gospel with you? Has anybody ever shared the gospel with you? You say, I'm saved, I don't need the gospel. That's my point exactly. My point is this, my point is obvious, is that if nobody's sharing the gospel with you, when was the last time somebody knocked on your door and said, hey, I'm from such and such place and I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ? Not a Jehovah's Witness, not a Mormon, not a different cult or anything, not a traveling salesman, but just somebody wanting to share with you the love of God. What was the last time somebody handed you a gospel tract? If it's been a while, or if it hasn't ever happened, or if it's been many years, then just think about all the rest of the people that are around us. When was the last time somebody shared something with them? I think the most impactful message for me, though, was Sunday afternoon. He preached a message that was really centered on Revelation chapter number 2 and the church at Ephesus, and how the church at Ephesus had, and he made very special emphasis on this, had left their first love. And he made an emphasis, he said, they did not lose their first love, they left their first love. And their first love is Christ. And the picture was simply that Christ, they were doing all the things they were doing. They were taking the offerings up and singing the songs and preaching the messages. They were actually despising and putting out the Nicolaitans and the false preachers and teachers of their day. But yet, they were doing all the right things, but yet Christ was on the outside. They had left their first love. You know what? That church was about 40 years old. Whenever he wrote that. Do you know how old this church is? in just a couple of months, in March 15th, 40 years old. 40 years old. You know, we have to be careful that we don't lose, not that we lose our first love, but we haven't lost it. We oftentimes leave Christ behind. We leave Him behind. Monday was whenever Brother Eric preached on Monday, he preached that powerful message from Psalm chapter number 51. And if you were here Monday night and you didn't get a little touch from God from that message, I'll tell you what, your wood is wet. All right, your wood was wet, because I tell you, every single point that he brought out there of Psalm chapter number 51 and how he laid it out before us, how this was a great psalm of David and Bathsheba, and how this was David's great cry unto God to ask and to plead for forgiveness. I tell you, every single one of us that are Christians in the building, that if you were here Monday night, you were touched by the message, because every single one of us falls short, don't we? Every single one of us, like the old definition of sin is, miss the mark. We miss the mark. We're not perfect people. We fall short. We transgress even the law sometimes. We know what is right and what is good, and we even do what is wrong, or perhaps we even commit iniquity, a stronger word than the word transgression, which actually says a willful wanting of doing sin. Man, he says he wanted God to forgive him of his transgressions and forgive him of his iniquities. And he was pleading and asking God there in Psalm chapter number 51. And everybody's heart, I believe, was touched, because like Job 9:2 says, I know it is so of a truth, but how shall a man be just with God? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? Not anybody. Not anybody. Tuesday, we eagerly listened to the gospel being preached and desirous that somebody would be saved. And I will tell you that nobody trusted Christ on Tuesday night. I know there was one person that raised their hand for salvation and knew that their heart was not right with God. And they knew something. There was a seed that was planted. And I believe there were other seeds planted that night in people's hearts to know that they were not on their way to heaven, or maybe to just encourage us that are saints to be thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that saved us. And then Luke 14 was the message he preached on being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Being a disciple. And how it's impossible for us to have revival. Why? Because we're not consecrated enough. We're not cross bearers like we should be. And simply because we do not count the cost. And then he ended the message by saying, but what is impossible with man is possible with God. Though I can't bring revival, God can. Though I'm not a very good cross bearer at some times, God can help me to be so. Though I don't always count the cost like I need to, God can remind me to do so. And though I'm not always as consecrated as perhaps I should be, God is with His Holy Spirit reminding me of how consecrated I should be. Why do I bring up all of these messages? Not to re-preach them, but to just simply ask you, if you were here, or just maybe if you weren't even here, how are you doing on some of these things? How is your witnessing? How is your love for Christ? Have you repented of any sin lately that God has brought into your mind? Are you more cross-bearing, consecrated, and counting the cost more than you were last Sunday? I just ask those questions because sometimes we can come out of a meeting like that, and we can even sadly leave a message like today and get to about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and we go, you know, what did Pastor preach on? What did he say? And I hope that's not the case there this morning. I hope that maybe there will be something that will stick in your mind from this book of Joshua to be encouraged with this, to be strong and very courageous. To be strong and of a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, God is with you. God is helping you. God can help you to live the life that God wants you to live. Joshua is at a point and place in time that his mentor and greatest earthly person that he's ever looked to up in his whole entire life is now dead, Moses. And I think for Joshua, it was at a place and point in his life that he thought, how can I go on? I don't know about you, but if I was put in, if all of a sudden I was put in charge of about 2 million people, I think that I would feel a little burdened, wouldn't you? Amen? That's why I think the Bible even tells us to pray for our governors and for our presidents and for those that are in authority. I know we talk a lot about those that are in authority and those that are in government and how we don't like this person and how this person says that and how this person does that. But I tell you one thing right now, I don't want the president's job. You must want, I don't hear any amen. I don't want to be a congressman, okay? I don't want to be a senator, okay? That's not what, I don't desire those things. I can't imagine the pressure that goes along with those kinds of things. And you can say what you will about those kinds of things, but we should be in prayer for them because they do have a heavy task and responsibility upon them. Joshua had a huge task upon him. He not only had the task of leading 2 million plus people, but he also had the task of leading those, mostly at the time that he knew them, were rebellious, stout-hearted, complaining, murmuring people across the River Jordan to Jericho, fight them, and then fight the whole entire land of Canaan and bring it into captivity, into subjection, into the will, into the glory of God. That was a difficult task. And when I look at the messages that Brother Eric preached on, the ones that I just rehearsed to you, it might look as if that's a difficult task. I cannot be the witness that I should be. I cannot seem to get over or get victory over that sin that comes up in my life. It seems like I just can't be thankful enough for the gospel. Or maybe, I just seem like I cannot latch on to my first love. There are a lot of like pastor's keys sometimes. I just can't seem to find them. I've even been designated a place in my house. This is where the keys go. I've told my family, this is where the keys go. They go in this little blue tray right here. But inevitably, sometime through the course of the week, I'll be going out to my truck and there I'll say, where are my keys? They're not there. And they'll say, my daughter will inevitably say, Daddy, you left them over here. I left them. And if I'm prone to leave my keys somewhere, how much more prone am I prone to leave God off somewhere in my life? I'd say it's pretty likelihood. And when I look at these messages and I think about the things that were preached, I think, how can I do those things? But may I give you some encouragement this morning? Number one, write this down if you're taking notes. You should write down the first point, a constant command. A constant or consistent command. You have your Bibles opened up to the book of Joshua. You should find your place in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 31. Because you need to see what it says right here in Deuteronomy 31. Moses is still alive. He's talking here to his servant Joshua. And notice what he says to Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter number 31 in verse number 6 and verse number 7 and verse number 23. He tells him in verse number 6, he says, be strong and, can anybody read the next three words with me, of a what? Good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he is it that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Go to verse number 23, and notice again what the charge that Joshua is given by Moses. It says in verse number 23, it says, and he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Go back to our text in Joshua chapter number 1, in verses number 6 and 7. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse verse number 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. This time he says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And our text says, have not I commanded thee? Does it not make sense to you now why he says, have not I commanded thee? I've told you about 6 different times, Joshua. All right, that's what he's saying. You ever had your kids before, or maybe somebody that you work with, or maybe somebody that's fresh on the job, and you go, you tell them, and you tell them, and you tell them, and it just doesn't seem like they get it, and you finally have to look them in the eyes, and you go, have I not told you this once already? I think I've made myself clear about 5 different times, but maybe you're just not getting it, all right? Would you look at me here in the eyes? Have not I commanded thee? Have not I told you? Have not I given this to you? And isn't it amazing that the word of God says about Jonah, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, what? A second time? We kind of give Jonah a bad rap in the Bible, doesn't he? Can we all agree with that? Jonah gets a kind of a bad rap. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh, right? And so he gets on a boat to go to Tarshish the opposite way. And then God says, no, that's not going to work. I'm going to cause a storm, and then you're going to get swallowed by this big old fish right here. And he had to swim around in whale vomit for the next 3 days, all right? Not a pleasant ride, I don't think. Not the cruise I was looking for, really, out in the Mediterranean Sea. He gets spit up on land, and he goes and he preaches the gospel. And after he preaches the word of the Lord, they repent in sackcloth and ashes, and he sits on the side of the hill, and he's another guy that feels lonely, but this time he's got no reason to, because now he's seen the greatest revival in all of history, and he's mad about it. Man, if God saved Austin, Texas, all over the place, and there was, can you imagine the mayor and the city council in Austin repenting in sackcloth and ashes? You're laughing because you can't imagine that, right? But that's what happened in Nineveh. And he's mad. Can you imagine that happening and me being the guest preacher for the mayor and the city council? And then me going, that's sorry, no good for nothing. I knew they were going to repent, you know? I'm never preaching again. He gets a bad rap, and he's rightfully so. But you know what? The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, and he went. How many times does God talk to you and to me, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, tenth, 20th, 30th, 40th time? We don't do anything. Have not I commanded thee? Haven't I told you? Do you not understand? Are you getting this? There's a constant command in the scriptures for these things. A constant command to witness, a constant command to live consecrated to Christ, a constant command to go back to your love for Jesus Christ. A Christian's number one priority in life is what? To love the Lord God with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind and all his strength, and to do what? To love his neighbor as himself. These are things that God is constantly reminding us. That's why you read your Bible. Amen? Because you're not just going to get it. You shouldn't just be looking for spiritual instruction on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You should be looking for spiritual instruction every single day. You should be reading your Bible every single day. Because I'm just here to feed the flock of God when I can, but there's times that I can't be at your house at 5:00 in the morning. I can't be there whenever you read maybe at 6 or 7 in the morning or 8 or 9 o'clock that night. I can't be there every time. It's for your responsibility to take the word and read the word and constantly be reminded what God wants you to do. We not only see a constant command, but I want you to see secondly, he says, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Okay? He tells you 4 things. It's real simple. A constant command and a confident courage. I say confident courage because there are some people that get boastful in the Christian life, and God does not call us to be boastful. The only thing that I'm allowed to boast in is this: I'm allowed to boast in Jesus Christ. I am allowed, I am given permission, complete and total permission by God to say that there is no other way to be saved but by Jesus Christ. I have complete confidence and I can have complete boasting in that. You say Muslims don't like that. I don't. That doesn't matter. You say a Hindu doesn't like that. You say an atheist doesn't like that. You say other religions go against that. That doesn't matter. That may seem boastful to them, but that's okay. I can boast in that. Why? Because it's true. It's true. For my math teacher to tell me that 2 plus 2 is 4, there's nothing wrong with that, all right? She can boast in that. She can be proud of that. She can be happy in that. She can be confident in that because it is true. But I'll tell you this, what's more true than 2 plus 2 is 4 is this: I am the way, Jesus says, and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But because before there was ever math, there was Jesus, my friend. And you don't have to be able to know even what 2 plus 2 equals to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried in a tomb, and rose again the third day. All you got to do is know and understand that you're a sinner and you need this one to save you. You can have strong, confident courage in Jesus Christ. I like the first word. I told you it's very simple. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Faithful is he that calleth you, that also will what? Do it. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. It says that so many times in the book of Psalms. We ought to be strong in who? Thank you, yes. We ought to be strong in the what? The Lord. The Lord. We're strong in God. You're not strong in yourself. Have you ever tried to be strong in yourself? Oh, painful, embarrassing, embarrassing. I'll never forget, I was in India, and I was given a privilege to preach several different times in India, and man, I'd done a pretty good job. I thought, man, that's pretty good. Man, I'm India, preaching about 500 or 600 college students right here. It's pretty cool. And I can remember a sermon that I preached, and I really don't even remember any other sermon I preached there. Isn't that really weird? But I remember this one sermon. You know why I remember it? Because I fell flat on my face. I mean, I just kind of ended with that sermon stumbling and bumbling so bad that the preacher behind me had to get up and kind of explain the rest of the text and preach the rest of the sermon. Man, I went back to my room, and I just got on my face the whole rest of the day, and I told God I was sorry. I don't want to be like that again. I thought I kind of had things figured out, but I really realized God showed me, you don't have anything figured out, boy. God can make you strong. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Brother Eric, when he preached for us, he told me three different things that really showed me that God was working in his heart and his life, that God was strong in him. He just recently had a child that had Down syndrome in February, and the Lord had given him confidence and strength to be able to preach the Word of God and continue in the ministry that God had given to him. At the age of 18 years old, he had a concussion where he lost nearly all of his memory and wasn't able to preach or really talk or really do anything. And God gave that back to him. And it does come out every once in a while, but he did have a severe problem with stuttering, that he couldn't even really speak much at all in front of people. And God worked in that man's life to help him. And I can tell you this, that I'm no different. Brother Eric's no different. Moses and Joshua are no different than you are. God is wanting to show himself, as it says, strong on your behalf. The next word is good. He says, be strong and be of a good courage.
courage? A good courage. You know, it's not a bad thing to be courageous. It's good. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Be strong in this fact that the courage that God has given to you is a good courage. Be of good courage. Make sure you're having a courage that God wants you to have. Not boastful, arrogant courage. That's not what He's talking about. But good courage that is from the Lord. Faithful is He that calleth you that also will do it. Rest in your courage in God and see that God can help me to be the witness that He wants me to be. God can help me to be thankful in the areas that I struggle in. God can help me to be forgiving when I don't want to be forgiving. God can help me to be the man or to be the husband that God wants me to be. God can help me to be the wife that God wants me to be. God can help me to be the mom or the dad that He wants me to be. I don't have that power. I don't have that courage to stand up maybe to that person at work that is just constantly lambasting the name of Jesus Christ. I don't have the courage to really get out there and stand up for Christ. But I can tell you this, that God's got your courage, my friend. He's got your back. He's the one that can help you. He's the one that can be with you. I don't have the courage to try to help my kids. Sometimes I feel a little lack of courage. Can I tell you this? That God has got your courage for you. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the place where Jonathan and his armor bearer are going up to fight this garrison of Philistines. And as they're going up there, his armor bearer looks over at him and he says, I don't know about this. This doesn't seem like it's two of us against, some people put a garrison at maybe 26 to 50 in that area. I don't care if it's 26 or 50. That doesn't really matter to me. When you got two guys against 20 guys, I know what the outcome is going to be. Amen? All right? The two guys always win, right? If you got the Lord on your side, you do. And he said, basically looks at his armor bearer and he says, whatever it is, whatever the Lord wants, I don't know, but I'm going. We're going. And they go up and they fight them, and God blesses them, and God gives them the courage to fight off those Philistines. And you might not have the courage, my friend. That might not be your disposition in life or who you are, you might say, but God can give you that courage. God can enable you. God can help you. And then it's not only strong and good, but it's unfearful. I love what it says in Psalm chapter number 27 in verse number 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And then catch this next little phrase, whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Be not afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of, my friend. There's no power of darkness that can overwhelm you. There's nothing in this world that can overtake you. Be confident in this. Be confident in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be confident in His salvation. Be confident in the fact that greater is He that is in you than he that is what? In the world. Greater is He that is in you that is in the world. And then He says, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be unamazed. Don't be unamazed. Don't be dismayed. Literally the word dismayed means to be discouraged. And this really hit me hard a long time ago, was this. Joshua is being told, and I believe the message is correlated right back to us, that we ought to be strong and courageous, not for the fact that we're going to go fight battles in that sense or anything, but we're going to face the battles of spirituality, the spiritual battles of our lives. We're going to face battles with our families. We're going to face battles at work. We're going to face battles in this world, okay? But here's the deal. What does the word discouraged mean? Discourage. You ever thought about that breakdown of that word? No courage. God says to have courage. So when I'm not having courage, I'm not right with God. I'm not right with the Lord because that's what God wants me to be. He wants me to be courageous. In fact, He says be strong and very courageous. Very courageous. Don't be amazed. Sometimes it hurts my heart when I hear Christians that are so amazed about how wicked this world is. It's like they're amazed. It's almost like somebody just gave a news flash to them that the world is wicked or something like that.
Wake up, read your Bible, read history, okay? Wickedness has always existed. The world is wicked. It's just getting so bad, preacher. You know, I just don't know what's going to happen next and everything. It's just getting so bad. Well, last time I read the book of Acts, Brother Pilar, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were being hauled to prison. They were being killed and slaughtered by the hundreds there. Things haven't always been great. It hasn't always been good. I'm just really concerned for our country, and I am too. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying this. Don't be amazed. Some people get so amazed. I know of one person that was so amazed when their hope rested so much in government, I felt like, in politics, that when President Barack Obama got elected the second time, it almost seemed like they were going to leave the Christian faith. I mean, that's not a political jab at anybody. All that is just a state. Our confidence should not rest in government, my friend. It should not rest in who's the president. It shouldn't rest in the economy. It shouldn't rest in my health. It shouldn't rest in how well things are going in my life at this moment. It shouldn't rest in any of those things, because all of that is temporal, is what that is, okay? Daniel went to a kingdom he didn't even know the language at, and then he purposefully defied the king and his orders and said, I will not eat what they've given to me, because that's not right and I'm not going to do that. And so did his three friends, and they didn't care what, they had a terrible situation. They were kidnapped from their own homes. Most likely their parents were killed in the process. They probably maybe have even watched that happen. And they're brought to this kingdom. They had every reason to just get drunk and be gluttonous and just say, forget it all. God is not with us. All right? If anybody had a reason to be drunk and gluttonous, it was Daniel and his three friends. But what did they say? He says, what does the famous verse say? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. And Daniel not lives through one king, not through two kings, not through three kings, but through four kings and two different empires, the Babylonian Empire and the Medo-Persian Empire. Isn't that amazing? Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. Lives through them all, outlives kings. He wasn't dismayed. He wasn't discouraged. He didn't get down. Oh, we might be disappointed with life. We might be disappointed with our kids or whatever it is, but let's not be discouraged. Let's not be discouraged. Can I leave you with a very comforting point, though? Because it says at the end of the verse, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Matthew 28, Jesus gives us those wonderful words. We see our final point. A caring Christ. In Matthew 28, in verse number 20, after he establishes the Great Commission, he says at the end of the verse of chapter number 20, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. A caring Christ. You know why you should be encouraged this week to do the things that God would want you to do? To do the things that He has commanded us to do? To do the things that we were taught last week to do? You know how you can do those things? It's not through your own self. We found out that that's an utter failure. You can do it because God has commanded you. You can do it because what God commands you, He can give you the strength to do. And here's the most wonderful, sweetest point of all, is that we serve a caring Christ that is with you. That is with you. He's with me. He's with you. Walking with you. Be not dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever. What a great word. This flows off the tongue really good, doesn't it? Whithersoever. It just makes me believe that it's like, wherever I go, whatever I do, wherever I'm at, it doesn't matter where I'm at. God is everywhere, all the time, every single place I go to. No matter what happens, God is there. He's a caring Christ. And Christ repeats that and says, lo, I am with thee no matter what, always, even to the end of the world. Or as some people like to say, to the end of the ages, to the very end of time, to the very end of all things, I am with you. To the very end of the world, I am with you. Don't be lost in the scene around you. Don't be lost in what's happening in your family. Don't be lost what's happening in your economy. Don't be lost what's happening, that's bad things that may be happening here or there, or you see wars and rumors of wars. Hey, man, my friend, don't look at those things. Look at one. Look at Christ, my friend. He cares for you, and he wants you to be encouraged. If he's given you a command, he can give you the courage to complete that command. If he's given you his will, he can give you the power, the ability to complete his will. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Joshua, you're going to have some tough times. Went to Jericho, man, had a great victory. Amen, right? Walk around a wall 6 times. Walk around 7 times on the last day. What happens? The walls fall down. Wow, great time. Yeah, Ai, boom. 36 men die. Now we're out here stoning a family. Bad day. You're going to have tough times. The biggest lie that is ever purported in Christianity is this. Once you get saved, you will not have difficult times. That's the biggest lie of the prosperity gospel that is out there. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. The Bible teaches that all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You will be tried. You will suffer bad times. But you know what suffering does? It shouldn't bring out the worst in us. It should bring out the best in us. It should purify us and make us more godly and holy and righteous for the service of the King. So that we may be serving Him, and we serve others and help them. May God help us to be strong and of a good courage.